Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Chestnut Ridge Radio Club Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2VAR. Okay, that's the right answer. Well, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the TechNet. The TechNet is run weekly on the commuter repeater of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, located in Alpine, New Jersey, on a frequency of 146.955. It's also got a PL of 141.3. What else did I want to ask you? In any case, this net is about having a conversation about amateur radio, telecommunications, computers, electronics, the arts, the sciences underlying mathematical principles that facilitate our hobby, and of course our experiences, what we've done with our hobby, what we aspire to do again, and what we never want to do again. That's always important. We do check in a little differently on this net than other nets. We check in with our call sign, our name, and then we indicate whether we have a question, comment, for sale, drop, or wanted item, or none of the above. You might ask, why would you check in with none of the above? We check in with none of the above so we know who's there, so we can direct the net to be something that's appreciated by the audience. So if you don't find the net interesting and you haven't identified yourself, well, you know, in a word, it's your own fault. So let's try to move forward and get this done with some fun. And that's been around for about 10 years now, but it's kind of nice. All right, so with no further ado, stations as call signs begin with the letter Whiskey. Please call K2BAR.
Good evening, Gordon. This is WA2UMP, Jim in Pearl River, New York, and just listening this evening.
Good evening, Jim. Nice to hear you. Any other whiskeys?
Don with a comment.
Good evening, Don. I got your comments so noted. And any other whiskeys? K Kilos.
K2OOL.
K2OOL.
Got it.
All right, and your name and your intention, sir.
Oh, I'm just checking in. This is Artie. I'm in Clifton, New Jersey.
Okay, Artie, very good. Good to hear you. And it's always good to have a check-in that we haven't heard in a while join the net. So, any other kilos?
KC2NKU, Maryland, White Plains. No questions, no comments. Hello, everybody.
KC2NKU, good evening, Maryland. Good hearing you. Any other kilos? Okay. Might I assume we have a W2CH?
Yes, thank you. I was occupied.
Okay, and what are your intentions, Mr. Ray?
Yes, Gordon, at the moment, none of the above. Thank you. W2CH, White Plains, Ray.
Okay, Ray, very good. Not a problem. Any other whiskeys?
WE2R, Charlie, just listen.
Good evening, Charlie. It's nice seeing you the other day. Alrighty. Any other whiskeys? Let's go back to kilos. Any kilos? Okay, how about alphas? Okay, nothing heard. And how about novembers? Any station, any call sign block. I'm sorry, it was K2 again. Your audio is really light and your signal is a little crackly.
KC2 VMA.
VMA? Marco, why is your voice so low? Is Katie sleeping or something?
Oh, this is what the radio sounds in analog, I guess. First time I use it in analog. Gordon, no questions or comments.
Yeah, which radio is that?
FT2D.
Wow. Yeah, the audio sounds a little light, but that's just me. All right, very good. Welcome aboard, Marco. Any other kilos? Or any call sign, I should say.
To NBR. Nothing to comment on at this time. Just be listening to NBR.
To NBR, John, good evening. Welcome aboard. Any other stations?
KV2 in LA. Chris, just listening.
Okay, good evening, Chris. All right, any other stations?
K2JVS. Joe, here in Wayne. I'll just be listening for a while. Good evening, Gordon.
Hey, Joe. Long time no hear. Welcome aboard. K2JVS, K2BAR. Very good. Any other stations? Okay, Jim, WATUMP, I'm going to come to you after Don, so I'd like you to talk about your net and what it's about a little bit. Similarly, Marco, I'd like you to get on and talk about your net after Jim. So, W2JEK, it's your ball, Don, K2BAR, how are you?
Hey, K2BAR in the net, W2JEK. Speaking of, I will have one sometime. It was one time on the, happened last September. Back to net, this is W2JEK.
Very good, Don. Just had a question. Is there likely to be a change of venue for your test sessions?
Not at this time.
Very good. Thank you, Don. Appreciate it. Anybody have any comments for Don or questions for Don regarding licensing, test sessions, et cetera? Okay, Don, very good. Well, thank you very much, and Godspeed. Just a couple of quick notes here. We also have EchoLink available to Chestnut Ridge Radio Club members. I'm curious if we have any stations on the EchoLink. Okay, very good. One other note, I'd like everybody to take the time to, at their own discretion, to try 146.835, 146.835. The PL is 151.4, 151.4. And, you know, let us know next week how that repeater works out for you. As it will be a standby for this, and depending on the functionality we need for the net, nets may also be found on that frequency, depending on how things evolve. I want to emphasize 146.835. It is in Pearl River. PL is 151.4. Case, what else? Oh, yes, we have a support group where you can ask questions and also carry on dialogue during the week. It's a Yahoo group. It's a closed Yahoo group. And it's a ComTech group. Charlie, Oscar, Mike, Tango, Echo, Charlie, Hotel, Golf, Romeo, Oscar, Uniform, Papa, ComTech group at yahoogroups.com. So if you would like to check into that or join it, you can ask to join it, and I can approve you. If perchance you're not able to find it or whatever, please shoot me an email at whiskey2w2tttrl.net. TTT@AWL.net, and we'll get you squared away. There's all sorts of old mail there that's useful with good tips. There's good ways to ask questions during the week, and of course, there's also some files up there that are useful. Now, so I encourage you to all. Alrighty, let's see. Jim, I'd like you to, you know, describe your net and the underlying technology of your net. It's a new net, and I'd like you to describe it because it's on this repeater as well. WA2UMP from K2BAR.
K2BAR, WA2UMP. Okay, thank you for the minute here, Gordon. Yep, this repeater here is bilingual. It speaks FM and C4FM, which... And beginning coming Tuesday night at 9 o'clock, I will be hosting BMC for FM. It's going to be interesting and fun. The audio on C4FM is excellent. So if you do have C4FM radio, join in the fun and let other folks know about it so that we can turn out. Back to net control.
Okay, very good. Jim, why would someone want a C4 FM radio?
Okay, well, there's three real competing digital modes, if we're going to dive out of this. You have D-Star, you have C4 FM, and you have DMR. Advantages and disadvantages to each mode. You're going to hear some strong opinions and some opinions on basically who you talk to. The advantage, and there's advantages and disadvantages to each of these modes, but it has a very clear and crisp audio, and it will be networked in the near future to be networked with the deep. So for the clarity, if you enjoy experimenting with digital, the networking will allow you to easily other repeaters in the near future across the region and across the
Absolutely. Well, what's nice about the repeaters, just for your reference, this repeater is, as Jim alluded to, bilingual. It will do analog, it will do digital. So if you do hear the digital and you find it objectionable, which a rational human being would, then simply set your receive PL, your receive decode, you know, tone decode, to 141.3 here on this frequency. And that way, when there's a C4 FM, or if you will, fusion though going on, your squelch will not break, everything will be fine. The other thing you should know is that if you are a digital user, a fusion user, you should be courteous and check to make sure that the frequency is actually clear before you operate. And similarly, you know, if you're an analog user, you should make sure the frequency is clear just by, you know, maybe having a memory that doesn't have the tone on adjacent to the one that does on the receive. That way you can listen. What's interesting is if everybody does that, you can actually get your leave to QSO when people are patient with each other and they could hear, because the fusion people can, should they choose, hear FM, even though they might be in a digital QSO. And in my personal opinion, unless you're using the functionality of the digital, for a set purpose such as the net or some function that digital does, you might just be well off with the analog anyway. That's a personal opinion. I should also point out that there are two other fusion repeaters in your area. One is Chestnut Ridge, again, at 442.900, and the other one is Gene's repeater over in, in Cedar Grove, KJI's repeater. It's, 445.525, 445.525. The other thing you should be aware is that you do not use tone with 4FM Fusion. There is no PL. They're way too restrict the groups, but no one's doing that at this time. One of the other cool things about the digital is that it will tell you, there's a GPS built into the transceiver, and it will tell you how far the station is from you, and also can give you its position. So, any questions about fusion at this time, or any of the other digital modes?
WI2W, late check-in.
Mr. Steve, yes, sir, what are your intentions, WI2W, K2BAR?
Well, I thought I'd ask a question about digital.
Well, go right ahead.
So somewhere in my travels, I came across a software package. Software package that you can load on a Windows machine and maybe a little decode some of these without having to hardware. Just what's going on. I wonder if anybody on the package or package is that connect.
Comment, go.
K2OL. It's called DSD Plus, and it decodes D-Star, Fusion, and a few other formats that are not available currently in some of the scanners that are out. It works good as long as you... I hear it works really good if you have Linux, but version does do Windows.
Really, so DSD Plus, huh? That sounds really nifty, but it's Linux is preferred, Windows is acceptable, sort of, kind of?
Exactly. And all you have to do is take, a cheap scanner and any analog and go from your, audio jack from the radio into the computer and adjust the, threshold of the, volume control of the radio is the threshold. And go line in into your computer and it'll decode the packets of digital.
So if you wanted to, you could either use the line in, or you could actually use one of those nice little Dolby dongles that have the input and output on a USB dongle, right?
Yeah, even if you have one of those cheap $15, eBay dongles, you could use that too. It also provides, some of the scanners have I'm going to call it an IF output, and it'll take the digital out of that instead of the earphone and decode it all digital, such as the PSR-800 by GRE or the RadioShack Pro 668 does that. I believe some of the new Uniden scanners, 536, 436, have this feature as well.
Right, I've noted this, DSD Plus, Delta Sierra Delta Plus. Is that spelled out P-L-U-S, by the way?
Yeah, it's a DSD with a plus sign, regular plus sign. If you go on radioreference.com, you can pull up information, or you can do a Google search on DSD Plus, put digital decoding software, and they have a wiki on it. And it'll tell you everything it does. It does, well, if you don't have P25 on your radio, it'll decode P25 too, because some of the ham radio repeaters are P25 and you can't listen if you don't have a Motorola.
That's marvelous. Do you set the mode or is it dynamic?
Well, to my knowledge, it automatically decodes it. You could set it like that, or you could do it manually. It's this whole big software, and you see the little hexadecimal numbers and things jumping around. I guess nobody really knows what those numbers mean, but there they are, right? I put it like in the middle, the volume control, and the computer program takes over.
Marvelous. That is absolutely marvelous. Well, thank you for doing that. And I assume it's some sort of open source software, or is this somebody's proprietary software they're just trying to throw out there for people to use?
It's actually open source, so if you want to, tear it apart and improve on it, I guess you can if you're a software programmer. I think it does ProVoice, which is a decoding system that a lot of scanners don't do also. So if you have a Pro Voice, police department, fire department does that too. What do you call it? K2OOL, by the way.
K2OOL, W2TDAR. Very nice. By any chance, does it do NXTN?
Yeah, yes it does. It does NXTN, which is supposedly being used in railroads and stuff like that. And I think maybe Port Authority uses that in some kind of system. It does not do encryption, so if you have an encrypted signal, obviously it would be illegal to decode that. So it will not decode a encrypted signal. Then again, ham radio doesn't have encrypted signals. We're not supposed to, so that's good. There's also an AOR scanner out there that actually does all these formats. I guess it's software-based, the AR-DV1, and it'll decode Yaesu Fusion C4FM format.
W2CH.
Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, I didn't know if I mentioned it to you, Gordon. For a few weeks I have that scanner, the AOR ARDV1. It does that. It won't do encrypted. It won't do trunking like somebody said to me about Rockland on 700, you know, the P2 or something. But it does have some kind of system in it. And it's pricey. It's $1,200. But it gets all those systems, you know, in a receiver. And it is quite interesting to hear it. I've heard some repeater or two with P25 in addition to police. But I just thought I'd come in when I heard that mention, W2CH.
Yeah, there are a number of 325 repeaters in North Jersey here. 442 is one of them, but it's also FM. And the guys flip back and forth, you know, and have for years. But they're not the only ones. There's a few others. That's pretty cool. Anybody else have any thoughts on this? Okay, so let's do this. Jim, W2MP, you want to talk about the DV dongle a little bit? Or the DV4, whatever it is?
Yeah, sure. The DV4 Mini is a DVAP or a dongle, and basically it speaks five protocols. It speaks D-Star, DMR, 4FM, P25, and that public domain family band version of DMR that's available in Europe. I forget the abbreviation for it. Basically what it does is it allows you to use, say if you're on your DMR radio, it acts like a little mini repeater, and you can talk to folks through the internet. You're linked to other reflectors over the internet. Folks also go into the reflectors and you can talk with them over the internet. So I've used it on D-Star, I've used it on DMR, and I've used it on C4FM. It works very well. It's like having a little mini reader. Not quite as good, but it's possible. You can search on the internet and look at YouTube, and it'll show you exactly what it does.
Okay, very good. So, DV4 Mini is the key phrase. And essentially, it's a transceiver. It needs to talk to a radio.
Yes. If you're going to talk to it in DMR, you need a DMR radio. Incidentally, the MD down now to 110 bucks. And with the C4FM radio, you're able to talk to it too, and the audio is exceptional on that. D-Star sounds pretty good too. DMR's got a little bit, they still need a little bit of work, but they keep coming out with versions of it. It works pretty good, but the audio just a little bit less than perfect. But for $129, it's a lot of fun, but you will need a digital radio to talk to it.
Yeah, okay. So, it's not like the, what was that dongle that was available for D-Star, where essentially it allowed you to attach your headset to this dongle and plug it into your computer, and magically you could talk to a reflector without having to have a physical radio.
No, it's not. It's not like the dongle. It's like the DVAP, but it's more sophisticated, our DVAP, because it speaks five protocols. And it's half the price, but you will need a digital radio, plural, to talk to it. One.
That sounds great. That sounds great. Okay, very good. One other thing I should point out, for Fusion anyway, for C4FM Fusion, there's the networking you alluded to before. There is a hardware interface that plugs into a radio. It could be as little as a handy talkie, by the way. And then the internet on the other side that will actually wire it out. And it'll connect a radio to the room, which is, a room is like a reflector or a bridge, if you will, that bridges together multiple systems. And It only costs a little over $100. I was a little surprised about that. Right now, the servers are in Japan, which is a little trying to think about how they're going to support them here in the States. But what's interesting about the rooms on Fusion repeaters, you select them with DTMF, whether or not you're digital or analog. So, you know, again, this repeater is not networked, but if it was, and by the way, that box interfacing to the repeater has not come around yet. It's right now it'll interface to a radio, but not to a repeater. The basics of it are that an FM user of the repeater could actually log into the repeater and connect it up to a room, i.e. a reflector, that has different audiences, different groups. So that will happen at some point. I don't know if it's going to happen on this repeater or on the 440 or anything Chestnut Ridge owns. No internet connectivity in that spot for a while, but the bottom line is that it will allow FM users, not just digital users, to partake of these, much like you would Echolink or IRLP. You'll be able to steer the repeater to a room where there'll be one or more repeaters set up or systems set up to provide connectivity and conversation. So that's going to be really good.
WA2DWB.
Hello, Mr. Bill, WA2DWB, K2BARW2TTT. What can I do for you, sir?
Hi, Gordon. Good evening. I just want to make sure this handy talkie works. I'm going to leave it with Sean, who's got his license but hasn't used it very much since he got it. He's recovering from shoulder surgery here at the house, and just want to make sure it's still working.
Yeah. So, real quick, did you find that little inscription amusing?
They're very amusing. I even looked up the son of the one guy who I'm guessing passed away based on what I've seen, and I'm passing it along to him.
Okay, very good. Well, what I'm alluding to, guys, is that Bergenfield OEM's Emergency Operations Center had some studs put over a bare block wall that had been painted for years, and back when Bill was a high school sophomore, that was a few weeks ago. I'll throw you under the bus, Bill. You're 58, and I'm about to be. Back when he was a sophomore in high school, he was part of a crew that framed the wall so they could put sheetrock over there to make that room a little nicer. Well, that sheetrock needed to be replaced, water damage. And on the wall was the inscription of the guys who did the framing, and Bill was one of them. That was kind of cute. Anyway... very good. I'm glad to see that Sean is recovering, and wish him our best. As I said, my, how he's grown.
Well, his call letter is KD2AJG, if you hear him, so I'll charge this thing up, and he can play with it tomorrow whenever he wants. Appreciate it, Gordon. I'll hold you up, and probably the battery's going to go dead on this anyway.
Roger, I'll give it a charge, and we'll see you later. But thanks, Bill. WATWB W2TTTK2BAR with the TechNet. Okay, back to the subject at hand. So we can, the point here is that analog users of these repeaters will be able to have the same access to the networking as the digital users, and that's a key point.
Yeah, I think that is the Wires Xbox, isn't it, Gordon?
Right, and right now the Wires Xbox only works with radio, so it acts like very much like the way the Echolink works here. It's not at the repeater site, it's remote. So it's a remote transceiver that accesses the repeater, and that's pretty much the strategy. But at some point, we will get to get a working version of the repeater software and Wires Xbox software that will play well together. It's being worked on, and I think the current version it starts to enable that functionality. Unclear how, with what reliability.
One interesting bill related. You can use a D4 Mini to link it with a with a Fusion repeater to put it on the internet and to connect into a particular room or reflector, as they call it. So some folks are doing that. They're not waiting for the Wires Xbox software to come out. They're using the D4 Minis to give network connectivity to the Fusion. Just an interesting sideline.
So what are they doing to get that connectivity going?
Well, there's a setting you can put in the DV4 Mini, and your repeater would have to be in proximity of the DV4 Mini, and you would, and they would interoperate, and that would put you on the. There is a setting that you can fill in, a field, and it'll connect you up to one of the reflectors.
Okay, I have a question. Hold 1 second. So let me make sure I understand this. The DV4 Mini can essentially be used as a networking box. Does it allow you to go to some other form of bridging other than what the Japanese run Wires X network is, or can you actually lash two of those boxes together, two DV4 Minis together, two different places to create your own room or pseudo room or something like that?
Well, you have to pick one of these reflectors, and for example, X something or other, room number 6 is the U.S., and 24 is the U.S. number 2, and 58 something else used in the U.S., and I forget exactly how many they are, but the nomenclature for these reflectors is has been around a while. I just can't repeat it off the top of my head. So you pick one of these existing reflectors, and these are very independent and have nothing to do with the Yaesu.
Okay. Are these reflectors, by any chance, the same reflectors that are used in the D-Star network?
They could be, because through Fusion, I've spoken with a few folks in D-Star. Most of the folks are also on C4FM, but I have spoken. I've spoken DMR to Fodar, and I have spoken C4FM to D-Star.
Okay, well, there you go. That's pretty exciting. So interoperability between and among the modes and repeaters and systems of D-Star and C4FM is evident through this approach. That's pretty awesome. Okay, we had a question. Who was the station? K2 Air.
K2 Hollowell.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Artie.
I was just wondering, since the DV4 Mini is a transceiver, is there a way to use it as an SDR radio as well? To receive, and use those different formats if one would want to?
No, you really can't. Basically, if you're going to talk DMR, you need a DMR radio transceiver, and if you're going to talk C4FM, you need a C4FM handheld or any transceiver. So it wouldn't work like that, no.
No, I'm not trying to do that. I was wondering, can you receive, let's say it's a transceiver. Can I use it to receive, like let's say from 0 to whatever frequency?
Yes. It's a receiver, but it's a digital receiver. You can set the frequency. It's on 440, so you pick an unused frequency. The default is 436. I picked one a little bit up above that, and it receives digital. If somebody's in the area on analog, it'll see it as noise. But you'll need a digital radio to talk to it.
Okay, so it'll only do a digital signal. It won't do an analog signal, and it won't go from 0 to say 1300 megahertz. It only goes 432 to say 450.
It's got a pretty wide spectrum on 440, but yeah, it only talks digital. It'll talk 5 protocols, And only digital, no analog yet. I don't think that's in the works.
Okay. Well, let's also point out something too, that there are ways. Well, no, I guess the DV4 Mini doesn't do FM, right?
No, it doesn't. Just one of the five digital protocols.
Isn't that ironic? Okay. All right. Well, very good. The advantage at this point, anyway, of the Wires X interface, once it works for a repeater, would be that the user community could be analog or digital and run just fine through the repeater to get the Wires X network, whereas the DV4 Mini, it's a digital-only game. But still, it's very good because it offers you the interoperability of access to the D-Star reflector network, which is pretty cool. Very good. Any other questions from anybody? Jay, did you want
to... N2OEL disconnected.
Sorry, who is the station who connected on Echolink?
N2OEL disconnected.
Oh, well, I called for him several times, or called for Echolink, so I guess he didn't bother to jump in. I'll text him later and find out why he didn't jump in. Alrighty. Anybody else? Jim, did you want to say anything else?
No, that about sums it up. I enjoy working with all of the digital protocols. When I say all three, I don't work with P25. But also I'm active on DMR, and Marco is running a net on DMR, which I spend a lot of time on, so maybe this is a good segue to for Marco to introduce his net.
And KC2ZMA, it is your ball, K2BAR. Or maybe not. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, so Jim, would you summarize when that net is and where it is, et cetera?
Yes, it's 8 o'clock on Thursday evenings. So that's the I'm always on that at 8 o'clock before I get on this one at 9 o'clock. It's on the Bergen County FM's associate, and I think it's 444.1. You need a DMR radio to get on. It's a standalone repeater that operates in dual mode. It's not linked, but it works quite well. Most of you know that as an analog repeater, and you're probably aware that it's also bilingual. So you'll need, for $110, you could get an MD380 to join the net at 8 o'clock on Thursdays.
Okay, any questions from anybody on the DMR net?
Is the Montclair DMR repeater ever coming back?
That's a good question, Jim.
I'm sorry, what was the, please repeat the question?
Is the Montclair DMR repeater ever coming back?
That's a negative. I heard that something about the it was too much money to put it on the tower, the repeater on the tower, so there's no talk of that ever coming back. But other ones are springing up all the time.
So, Jim, they were on the tower, and what they when the rental came due, they had to pull it off because it was out of budget?
Well, that's what I heard, and I didn't use that repeater very often. It was on my fringe area. It was just on my fringe. I could just about hit it. But that's what I was told, and this was over a year ago. So that's to my best recollection.
Okay, well, there's your answer. DMR is a little different in that it offers two functional channels. It's TDMA, time division multiple access. And so when you go key up your radio, it listens first, gets a time slot, and transmit on the time slot that, that you're set to on a non-conflicting basis. And someone else can be transmitting on the same frequency, but their packets will be interleaved with yours on the other time slot. And, you know, to the user, it sounds like a steady digital audio stream, depending on which one you want to pick up. And again, depending on how it, the repeater is set up, each stream, each, you know, each channel, if you will, or time slot can be linked to a talk group, which then in turn is networked to, or not networked, as the case may be. Well, it could be local, it could be anything, but you can configure a repeater, multiple talk groups, but the repeater owner decides which time slot is matched to which talk groups, whereas in Fusion, the user gets to select where the repeater is going to go, probably constrained by what the repeater owner decides or trustee decides, but you'll have user control of that, unless it's fixed on one and be done with it, you know, like locked into a particular room or reflector. So we'll see how this all plays out, but you know, somewhat like D-Star, Fusion allows user steerability, but somewhat like some implementations of D-Star, it could be locked down like it is, as I said, in DMR, in D-Star, and by default in DMR. There is no user steerability beyond the set of talk groups. Talk groups are, again, another kind of way of reflector. Think of a reflector that DMR uses. So any other questions or comments?
Well, I got a doozy. You ready?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
With the DMR, they've locked out some of the messaging and stuff. They frown upon on doing that on repeaters, so they don't want you doing it on DMR. Is Fusion the same way? I mean, are you allowed to send pictures or messages on the Fusion repeaters?
Yeah, well, right now it's not prohibited, so the answer is yes. Just curious, they don't want messages on DMR repeaters? I mean, messaging in DMR is pretty small. It's not exactly a burdensome thing. But apparently the systems don't like that, huh?
The K2MAK, they don't want your messaging, you know, like, hey, meet me on XYZ frequency. They don't want that or high or anything like that. So it goofs up the DMR traffic or messes up the system, he says.
Well, that's either a technology shortfall or an implementation shortfall or both. So that's interesting. Where is K2MAK?
I believe it's in Manhattan, and it's on top of, the World Trade. On top of the, what the heck's that thing called? What's that big building in New York? Not the Empire State Building, the other one. Rockefeller Center or four Times Square?
K2MAK is on top of the Empire State Building.
For the first time.
There you go. You learn something every day. Well, yeah, so what happens if you get up on Tri-State and issue a text message, you know, from the Orangeburg repeater? It's going to show up on KMAC anyway, right?
They'll email you and say, stop, or we'll shut you off.
The Tri-State people will, or the K2MAC people will?
I believe the K2MAC people will, but don't quote me on that. There's other system operators that don't want you doing messaging or whatever else you can do there. There are some really cool things that you can do with DMRs, but you can't do it on a repeater.
It's really a darn shame that they think that way, but okay. I'd love to know what their technical challenges are. But I guess it's because the messaging goes to everybody and it's not a directed messaging to only one person or a selected group. Is that it?
No, it goes by ID. So, like, if my ID is 38351, and I send it to 12345, then it should go to 12345 only. Supposedly, he told me if you do that, it messes with the audio or something. That's what he told me.
Well, sounds like a screw-up in the technology implementation, doesn't it?
Unfortunately. I don't know if it's their system, the way they got it set up, or they just doesn't want to deal with it, I guess.
It sounds like something's goofy in the C bridge, but okay. Interesting. Interesting. But, you know, who knows? I'm not an expert in these matters, but that would be one place I would go looking immediately. But, yeah, I mean, maybe they just need to sort it out. But, you know, there are also these people who don't like group text messaging. And so I'm wondering if there's an overtone of that in there, but who knows? You're saying I can send it to one person and only that one person should get it. I'll be real honest. You, for a non-networked repeater such as 444.1, that should not be a problem. So the first thing you would do to test that theory is to do text messaging there and then try to voice right after it or interspersed with it to see if there's a degradation in the voice. And if there's not, then you know two things. One is it's good on a Motorola repeater that's not networked, that's running hybrid analog digital mode. If, however, it screws up there, then you know it has nothing to do with a C-bridge and that it's something peculiar about that repeater platform, and you then could extrapolate that out to others as well. I mean, there's ways to diagnose what that is, but so I would think that the sensible thing to do would be to test out your texting, and maybe Jim, you could coordinate with some people. Maybe you and Artie could try on 444.100 some texting and voice interactions to see if there's any relationship between texting and voice degradation on the BCFMA repeater.
We could give it a try. I didn't know that texting was disallowed on DMR. I think you can do it on some of the, you know, on Tri-State. K2Mac may disallow it for certain reasons. It's pretty much not used, though. Not perceived as being a thing to the keyboard. It's like trying to type into an old, you know, like an old-fashioned cell phone. As a result, it's not really much.
Okay, so the issue is that the data entry system is Byzantine and outdated. Okay, fine. But there's plenty of ways to inject a DMR stream with you know, a DMR text string into a radio. So, you know, that should be solvable. And then the question then will remain, okay, now I've texted, you know, is there a performance issue? But I think it would be interesting. I mean, I know, like, the Kinect Systems radios will do texting. So, I mean, as you said, it's not a pleasant interface, but there's pre-canned messages in there. So if you just send the pre-canned messages back and forth, that should do the trick with minimal user effort.
I got another no-no for DMR.
Very good.
He also told me we were using person-to-person on, I don't know if it was Tri-State or one of the other slots, and not supposed to go from radio to radio. So if I call, let's say, Gordon, W2TTT, and I put his call sign and ID number in, I'm not supposed to do that. That's a no-no. Heads up on that one. K2OL.
Well, sure, because you're tying up the whole talk group for the repeater's network, and it's blocking everybody. So, you know, the notion of sharing conversation with others and letting people monitor your conversation, it should be in full effect. So you would use the wide open tri-state talk group and be done with it. That's fine.
I always have the impression that, you know, if you want to look for your buddy, you do that and then go to whatever time slot, but that's a big no-no. I was told they're not supposed to do that.
I mean, yeah, you certainly, you have to think about it. You're tying up the resources of the network without including everybody in the ability to listen. It's not what we consider classic ham radio, right? I mean, classic ham radio is two or three or four guys can BS and 50 guys can listen, and that's okay. And so they're just asking from a resource occupancy view that if you're going to use the resources, at least let everybody participate in keeping an ear out on the queue. So, I mean, does that make sense?
Of course. You know, everybody wants to talk to everybody, but, you know, I would just say, you know, to find your buddy, you know, do that. Don't do that. That's for everyone's information. Don't do that. And also, don't shut off the lockout thing. You know, you're supposed to key up and then listen and make sure you're not tying up a repeater. It got all confusing to me. I got rid of the radio because I couldn't make it from listening to Manhattan.
I'm sorry to hear that, K2BAR. So, let's think about this. So, just to provide some knowledge here, some of the talk groups require that you key up, and then for like a period of time, whether it's 10 minutes, an hour, or whatever, I don't have a clue, you'll then be able to hear anybody who shows up on that talk group. But you basically key up once, and that opens your receiver to be able to hear that talk group should it appear. Others just allow you to listen on the repeater, and whatever talk groups come out, and, you know, that's fine. But others require that you at least give it a periodic kerchunk, as it were, in order to stay active in the listening mode. That's, again, an artifact of the public safety slash business kind of use of DMR. By the way, Jim, WTMP, you mentioned before that fifth mode that the DB4 Mini does, that they use in essentially what amounts to the single-channel family radio service. It's used in Europe and also in Asia, too, by the way. It's called PMR-446. And yes, folks, it's 446 megahertz, our national simplex frequency. So, keying up 441-365.
That they may have a different set of letters to describe it. But it does do that mode.
Yep. I just heard somebody key up on 441-365, which I'm using as a test frequency for a repeater in Bergenfield. Did anyone hear that? All right, I guess not. Anyway, if you would like, you are welcome to use 441-3625. Appeal is 103.5. It's in Bergenfield. I would love to take receiving reports or signal reports. We've got an antenna on it that is resonant, but we have no idea what the coverage is. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to try a couple of different antennas that are all resonant on UHF. Love to have reports. We're going to check out different antennas that way. It's over in Bergenfield. It's not at my house, thank God. But it's 441-3625. Welcome. Please ID it. W2TTT repeat. There's no ID here on it at this time. All righty. Anybody else?
Sage.
All right. There was a comment and then Ray. So who was the comment first?
Repeat.
103.5.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Don. Appreciate it. Yeah, you should be able to get into it, no problem, from your spot. Yep, I'm actually hearing Somebody's keying that repeater, and they're listening here, too, so that's funny. Alrighty. Let's see. Ray, W2CH, go. 2NVR for a comment. 2 after Ray. Go ahead, Ray.
Okay, just heard the comment one. Yes, what I was wondering, what is PDMR? I saw a dual band radio on the Chinese ads, like Radio Shop or Alibaba, so very cheap, $25 shipping, $110, but it's not compatible with DMR, and I noticed that's also one of the modes I can get on my DV1 scanner. Is that something you were saying about the thing in Europe?
Europe and Asia, it's PMR, Papa Mike Romeo, personal mobile radio, I think it is.
And that's the mode that's compatible with the DV.
Double, Jim, but yes, it's Papa Mike Romeo, personal mobile radio.
Okay, so it is a different mode that's not DMR, that's why they have a VHF, UHF, fairly cheap. It's more personal type radio. Okay.
Yes, and it is digital. So, yeah, you can buy one, and it'll run on 446 megahertz, and no, you won't be able to understand it with your, you know, ICOM, you know, 4AT. That's not going to happen. All right, very good. N2NBR, John, go.
Okay, thank you, N2NBR. Having been a former control operator at one of the New York repeaters many years ago, it occurs to me that part of the objection factor with some of the issues here is based on the fact that it's almost impossible to control all of the factors that can be employed here. For example, a New York TV station can have the main channel plus two subcarrier channels. Well, unless you got three TV sets, you can't watch all three. How do you control the rules and regulations of our hobby? My feeling. Back to you.
Sure, that could be it. But here's the deal. Assuming you don't use the lockout feature on a repeater, so you have to key up to here, essentially. What you can do, expect that there'll be at least two physical channels and multiple talk groups, depending on how it's administered, across those two channels of a DMR repeater. Unless it's not networked or it's just dual mode, like 444.1 is, and in that case, you only have one digital and one analog, and they are exclusive to each other, and you can listen on the same frequency for all that. Anybody else?
One quick one. What was the frequency again, one last time, of the Bergenfield repeater, and was it plus or minus?
It's plus. It's 441-3625. 441-3625. PLS 1035.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's no guarantees here, guys. But it's W2TTT repeat for now. Anybody else? All right. If it's all the same to you guys, I'd like to call it square. We've done a little bit of an hour conversation after check-ins, and I'd like to secure it this time, if that's okay. I think really critical. Well, Jim, I want to thank you and everybody for participating tonight, and kind of we were topicless, and I just kind of winged it and said, okay, we're going to talk about this because it's on a lot of people's minds, and I looked at the audience and said this would be a good topic. So I want to thank everybody for their rather exciting engagement. Do look at the ComTech group on Yahoo Groups and try to log in or request admission to that closed group, and if you can't, email me at w2tangotangotango@awrl.net, and I'll be happy to get you squared away. And again, thank you very much, and enjoy above all. K2BAR, W2TTT, signing clear, 73.
KD2CBB would like to say thank you to everybody. I didn't have much to contribute, but I learned. Thanks to everybody. KV2CBV, New York City.
You going to get a Fusion radio now? K2OL.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I says, are you out to go get